You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
So this morning, it'll both be Paola and myself who'll be ministering the word together today. That might help rein me in a little bit. We'll see. So I might actually put this near the front of the speakers. Do you reckon that would work? So we can both. Do you reckon that would work? Can hold. Got two. Ah, well they both. Will they both connect? Ah, amazing. Ah, oh, in that case. Thank you. So, guys, can we stand, please? Can we put our hands on our hearts and let's pray. Father God, heal my heart.
Heal my heart.
And make me clean.
And make me clean.
Clean me from the inside out.
Clean me from the inside out.
Let your word,
measure
my heart.
Measure my heart.
Take out of me
wrong emotions.
Wrong feelings. Let me be guided.
By your spirit.
Put your hands on your head, please. Say, Father God. Thank you. That you have given me the mind of Christ. I take captive every thought.
Every idea.
Every intuition. That does not come from you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much, guys. Grab a seat. It's important that we understand the power of our words as we come into the presence of God. Your words have power because when you speak the truth of God, your words are empowered by that truth. And so it's important that we pray over our hearts and our minds because, like we heard last week, those are the battlefield between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. So it's good to be reminded that we are always in a battle. Whether you choose to be or not, we are in a battle fighting for the truth and fighting for the glory of Jesus in our lives. So as we start off, just to remind you guys, we're kind of in a collection of talks called Altars. And the big vision is this: Jesus has won the victory. Amen. Jesus has won the victory. He won the victory over sin and death when he was placed on that cross. When he was buried, and 3 days later, not only did he resurrected, he then ascended on high, which means that we can have hope and we can have faith that the same power that lives in Jesus now lives in us. Now, because of that, the Bible tells us that Jesus is reigning until every enemy is placed under his feet. And when every enemy is placed under his feet, he will then take the kingdom and he will hand it over to God. So what's the church for then? If Jesus has already won the victory, the church is to fulfill this accomplishment. The church is to be taking the enemies and to be placing it at the foot of Jesus. This is why it's important that we surrender ourselves. This is why it's important that we ask for forgiveness, that we repent. But it's also important, like we looked at last week, as well as ourselves looking after our hearts and building an altar in our hearts. Altars are the place of worship and sacrifice that cry out that the kingdom of Jesus is being built in this place. So we're looking at how we build altars, not only in our lives, but as we look to the horizon of Jesus' victory on the cross for the consummation, the fulfillment of all things. So last week we looked at the altar of the heart, and this week we're going to be looking at the altar of the home. How is it that we make our homes, our families, our close relationships, a place where Jesus is worshipped and there is sacrifice burning for him to see his kingdom and his glory reign in our lives and the lives of those around us. Amen?
Amen.
So our key verse for today is Deuteronomy 6. It's quite a long one, but I've only taken half of it. Deuteronomy 6, and it says, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over and to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, that you, and that your days may be long. So hear therefore, Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey." Next one. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant, and when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God that you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you." Cool. So out of the heart. Next slide, please. So, altar of the home. Now, I am aware, as I come to talk about a number of things, that this might well bring up potentially past hurt in your life, potentially past issues that come to the surface. When we talk about things like family, when we talk about things like marriages, when we talk about these things, they're often some of the freshest or deepest wounds that we carry. And being aware of that, what I don't want to end up preaching today is making you feel bad because of your history, because that's not what this is about. What we're bringing is what we believe the Bible teaches about households, about families, about the good structure and the good running of what the Bible teaches about building a family and a household and good relationships that house the glory of God and can be used to see his kingdom reign. Amen? So, the household and the family is one of the hardest places to bring generational spiritual inheritance. There are many external and internal influences that can hinder worship at the altar of the home. There are many people that believe that they have the best story over your life. Now, I don't know what your family was like when you were growing up. I don't know what the relationships were like with your parents, with your brothers, with your siblings. I don't know what the relationships are like with your kids. But like I've just mentioned, if you think about those relationships, they're often the hardest ones to build and to go deep with. Yeah? So if you think about hurt and trauma that you've had in your life, I don't use that word lightly. It's quite hard for someone out of your immediate family to cause the same damage or to cause the same hurt to you as someone who is within your family. This is because Satan understands how important it is, how important the family is. The thing that God has created to build his church, to build his kingdom, which is families, Satan also understands is the very thing that needs to be stopped. Not only does Satan try to stop you as an individual from prospering and flourishing and worshiping Jesus, he understands that as houses and families, that if a family is brought into disrepair or disrepute, or if a family is taken away, distracted from the purpose of worshiping Jesus, then that will also bring hurt, bring damage, and stop individuals from worshiping Jesus. Just to see how important it is for God, the family, Psalm 127 says this. So Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, and he gives to his beloved sleep. That's good, isn't it? He gives to his beloved sleep. Verse 3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior and the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. You see, the first two verses of that psalm were about church. Yeah? It's in vain that we try and build church ourselves with our hands by waking up early, going to bed late, when we lose sleep and we get tired. It is pointless for us to build church purely with our hands. But then the next verse, verse 3 says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. So there's a link here between how God builds church and how God builds families. Because families are God's great idea to build church. So, whilst I was in Brazil, God spoke to me a lot about this picture here. You can see here, you got the bow and the arrow, and you got the cowboy hat. As families, it's important that we understand our direction in life. Now, I was hoping to get a bow and arrow, like, here ready to go, but my girls don't play with bows and arrows. But I want you to just imagine very quickly the purpose of a bow and arrow. It says that, like arrows in the hands of a warrior, are our children, yeah? So the child is the arrow, which means that that the bow is being held, yeah? I want you to have that picture in your head. I'm going to have to do this without my microphone. Now, adults, the grown-ups in any family, are the ones that hold the responsibility, yeah? You are the ones that decide, dictate the comings, the goings, the wakings, the sleepings. You are the ones that run the household as adults, yeah? Now, children are the ones that grow up in that space and in that place. They are drawn to, they are driven by the rules, the routines, the stories, the rituals of the family. Now, if a family doesn't understand where it's going, it's going to be easy for the outside influences to come and build into that family. So here's the thing. For that arrow to go anywhere, for that child to be released well, that bow has to be what? Pulled. It has to be pulled. Has anyone here ever done archery? Yeah? How easy is it to pull a bow back? It's hard. Immediately, parents in the room know exactly what I'm going to be talking about. When you pull a bow back, it is really hard. We're talking like 30 kilograms? The kind of the weight that you're pulling back, the tension in the strings to get that bow to be tight. Now, that bow is really tight. Now, if you're holding that as a person who's not used to holding a bow, what's happening to your arms? They're shaking all over the place, yeah? Because you're trying to keep it tense. So if you're shaking all over the place, can you direct that bow very well? Can you direct the arrow? No, you can't. So here's the thing. Whilst you're shaking all over the place, trying to work out how to even hold a bow, what's the arrow feeling? It's falling out. That arrow is just falling out here and there. It doesn't know where it's going. But if we want the arrow to fly true, to fly straight, as parents, as adults in the room, and as people with responsibility over children, we need to be strong in the midst of tension. We need to be strong, holding the tension in the boat. And that's the responsibility of adults and parents. We have to hold the tension. We have to hold the difficulty. Because for generations to grow up in the church, for generations to grow up in the family, there's a difference between a kid who, for example, is well behaved and a kid who is submitted to Jesus Christ. There is a tension between those two things. There's a tension in my 11-year-old daughter knowing what it is to make friends and knowing what it is to make good friends. There's a tension about doing the right things and having the right heart. There's a tension between what it is to grow up with responsibility and to grow up with more freedom. And as parents, as adults, God's purpose is that we hold that tension. If we want to see generations coming out of this church, we need to be able to hold tension well, both in our hearts and in our lives. We need to be able to tell the story that God is speaking over his people whilst in tension with the world around us. God has purposed you for great and good things. He has purposed you to prosper. Yet the tension is that we're living in a life where in my heart I have sin. In my heart I want to do things that don't make me prosper, that don't lead me into the good plans of Jesus. So there's a tension between what we see and what we hope for. But our role as parents and our role as adults, our role as a church, we'll talk a bit more about that next week, but our role within this is to bring the story and the purposes of God to bear over the lives of our children. The song that we sang today, I Can't Believe How Good the Lord Is, says, I'll tell these stories to my kids that they may see your faithfulness. We speak the stories of God so that our kids and the generations after us can see the goodness of God. Because what we speak, the words that we speak, have power to grow what we see. Amen?
Amen.
Cool.
Okay. So just following up in this Bible verse that Jason read, I just wanted to read the last bit again. For me, I think maybe different that, but it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. I think this is just speaking what type of place our home or what type of communication, language, stories we should be inside of our homes. And today, it doesn't matter how your household look like, let your home be a place where it is written everywhere you see the love of God. What he's done. So he says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. So it may be that it can be just you and your husband, or kids are gone and all of that. Let your home still be a place where you talk and impress the words of God in one another, that you talk about God and you sit down, when you walk around the road, when you lie down, when you get up, that there are symbols, there are things, there are stories, there are memories, there are things that you've done, that God has done in your life. They're taught again and again and again to make your household strong, strong in the word of God, to make your household strong in the promise of God, knowing who he is, knowing what he's done. I want to talk a little bit about how our relationships are symbols of God's glory. You know, God used a lot the image of marriage in the Bible because he's our groom. Jesus is our groom and we are the bride. But there are so many other relationships of family that help us understand a little bit more of God. So there is relationships of father and son, father and daughter, a brother. We sang today as Jesus being a brother, a friend, and then you have husband and wife. All those different relationships that we have, they are great for our relationships here on earth, but they are all reflecting something of God. And we want our relationships to be symbols, those marks of who God is. And if, you probably heard this a lot, if our relationships are distorted, and like Jason said, family and the closest people that we have can be the hardest relationships that we can hold and have to deal with. But there's such a power in understanding and value those relationships and understanding who God is through them. So today, as we talk about home, as we talk about relationships, is understanding there's nothing in my life that wasn't there or done for not to be God glorified through them. So I want us to think about some different relationships that came to my mind in the Bible. So Martha and Mary, for example, we have two sisters that relating to Jesus. The little bit that we see of the friendship, we get to see a little bit of who they are. So Martha and Mary, and we often talk about them as we think about working a lot and not resting, and Mary just probably the one kneeling down the feet of Jesus. But there's something that one another can learn and teach each other. There is a power in that relationship that they can together grow and glorify God. And it's the same in our relationships. There is a space to grow. I keep thinking as well about Daniel and his friends when they were together in a foreign land and having to live, trying to live a different life, and how it would be for them not having each other. And I often find Brazilian people here in the UK, and as soon as we see, they normally just tell their whole lives, and you think they probably knew each other for a long time. But there is something that you connect with people that may speak your language, that may know your culture, that you're just able to be vulnerable. And there is such a power in that, in your relationship, that God created them for us to be able to relate to Him and identify to Him. He wants to be so many things to us that it's through us doing relationship well here that we can do relationship well with God. The Bible says, and I say this to children a lot, my children, like, if you can listen well to mommy or obey mommy well that you can see, how can you do to God that you cannot see? If we can't do relationship well with the people that we see, the people that we love dearly, and I think I have an older brother, and a sibling relationship can be hard. They can do the worst thing to you, but you still love them somehow. You love them dearly. There is such a bond there because God created us in that way to love family, love our family. And we need to understand and do well, just as Jesus did well here on earth with people. So we may go deeper in our relationship with God and be able to glorify our Father. So to have a full view of God as a Father, we need to ask God to heal our family wounds here, to help us build our relationships here. And I want to encourage and unite you today in prayer to see relationships that you have, maybe be in your household or in your close family, that needs healing, that needs restoration. There's something that God wants to do through you and in you, for you to see breakthrough in your own secret life with God. Let's be instruments in our families, be instruments of God to fight the suggestions in Satan's, in people's lives that Satan's do. I often think about my relationship with the girls, my children, that it's so easy. This Friday, taking them to school, I have to message Jason and say, I was really hungry. They were pushing all my buttons, and I think that's it. I need half them. That's it. No more school run for me. But I actually talk to them in the car and say, I'm so sorry, I think I'm really tired. Because it is through those relationships that really see what's happening here and really seeing where we've been pulling out and strengthened by what's happening in our lives. And it is our home that we are vulnerable, but it's also in our home that we rest, that we sleep. In that same Bible verse it said about toiling and working, and then God, for whom he loves, he gives rest. It is with our families, or with our friends, with our siblings, that we spend celebration time, Christmas and holidays and things like that. It's the same people that we rest. And God wants us to live intentional lives where we not just tick the box in those relationships, do what feels right by society, but we actually see what it is that God wants to do through me and in me in those relationships. And last thing I want to say in this bit is about how to live by faith and not by sight in relationships. We can say this about husbands. We can say this about children. You know, that is so easy in our day-to-day life to just criticize and live in a way where we just feel so disconnected. But I just want to encourage you to, how can I live by faith in my relationships? It may be a sibling that you can't see through, you getting closer or see something happening, but how can I live by faith in that situation? What can I speak out to see something happening there that I can find healing for me, that person can find healing? But just to live a life where your home, your house, what's coming in your mind doesn't stop you to grow in your faith. So I can often send a message to Jason. It was hard today, Camilo's doing this, I didn't know how to respond, and how different it is when I have in me the strength to hold that bowl, that picture that Jason said, and actually bring the word of God to a situation to say to someone that I love dearly, I think this is what God thinks about you, and I want to see this happening in your life. And it's not just for children, it's for any relationship that we have, walking down authority to come to your house and not just thanking God for what he's done in your mind, but speaking aloud, speaking to the people in your house about who God is and speaking words of affirmation to the people that we live with.
Amen. As Paolo was talking there about our relationships in our home, there's one relationship which I believe the Bible speaks to us that has to be the most important in that house, in that space. Now you can see my wardrobe here on the screen. and I've called this one discipleship and growth, because the whole purpose of the household and family is not to keep kids as kids. Yeah? Now, I hope that one day, I believe it's good to hope and pray for children and an inheritance that come, as the Bible tells us. I believe it's good to pray for that and hope for that. But the intention is that when you have kids in a family, they don't just grow up to be big kids, right? The hope and intention one day is that these kids grow up to become adults, yeah? And by adults, we don't just mean kind of big kids in diapers that still drink milk from a bottle. They don't just look like an adult but act like a baby. They look like an adult and they act like an adult, right? Now, unless God has called you into a life of singleness, I believe that God has called most people into a married life. I believe that is one of his key representations here on earth of who God is. Now, when your kids grow up, they're going to grow up to hopefully one day find a marriage, find another partner to do life with and live life with and to glorify God with. But they're going to spend most of their life in marriage. I mean, Paola here got married very young. Like 21?
21.
21. Now, I know that some of you guys got married even younger than that. I can see a few smiles in the room. And by this, I'm not saying that kids get married. I'm not saying that kids get married. But what I am saying is that we shouldn't, when me and Paola are at home, I don't treat Paola like a child. Paola might sometimes treat me like her son. Jokes. But I treat Paola as my wife. She is my equal. I treat her differently to how I treat my daughters. And that is a good thing. And that's another tension that we need to hold, because I don't come up to my kids and act like a kid in front of them. I don't go to their level and act like them. I go to their level to bring them out of their level so they can see what their future is going to look like. You see, Jesus didn't come to the earth to become man just to sin and do all the wrong things like man does. Mm. Jesus came as a man to show us who God is, right? So we, in a family situation, we get down to the younger people's level, not so that I can act like a young person, but I can bring them out of the place they're in into a place of hope and vision and new perspective for their future. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, this is exactly the same model in church. This is exactly the same picture in church, because the house is just a microcosm of church. Because although me and Paola will be showing our best marriage to our girls, I will shower Paola with love. I will give her the affirmation, give her the touch, give her everything that I believe is right for a husband to treat a wife. And likewise, Paola will treat me with the same. There is still a greater marriage that we are encouraging our girls into. And that is the marriage that they will have with Jesus Christ for the rest of their lives. Your marriage is one of the greatest testimonies that you have. Because Jesus isn't just married to you, he's also married to his church. It is a marriage with our hearts and our lives. So you can see here you've got the bride's dress and the bridegroom. Because I want to show the girls that as they grow up, they're not doing anything differently to what I'm doing. Because I want them to grow up to be able to love their husbands, but I also want them to grow up to love their Jesus, to love their King. So although at the moment there are things that they can't do because they're not married, there is things that they can do with loving Jesus. We teach our girls a lot about obedience at home. And obedience is one of, like I mentioned, tension. One of the greatest tensions at homes at the moment in the family is about, do we expect kids to be obedient? If any of you have got grandkids or kids who have kids, if any of you have done any reading or listening to any parents, and you ask them kind of what's the new thing, the new way to bring kids up, because it seems to change every generation, right? Then you have almost this type of parenting that is child-led or child-led parenting. We follow the kid, we let the kid do what it wants, and as the kid does what it wants, we then explain to the child why it's wrong. And that is not the model for the household. Church is not person-led. It's Jesus-led. The home is not wrapped around the child as the central focus of what it exists for. The home exists for growth. The home exists for discipleship. The home exists as a launch pad, that bow and arrow picture again, to send children out to go and do the same, to go and get married, to go and have kids, and to grow up again. But instead, what we're seeing nowadays, we're seeing a lot of talk around families or individuals that grow up, they don't want to get married, and they don't want to have kids. But they don't want to have kids, which leaves adults continually as children. Because until you have that responsibility, it's hard to grow up, and it is hard to mature. This world we live in is trying to tell us a different story about who we are and what we're meant to do. Yeah? So I'm going to try and keep it quick. I completely forgot what I was going to say. I'm really sorry.
Okay.
Nope, it's gone. This will keep it quick. Sorry, guys.
And I think one of the hardest things to grow from child to grown-up life is that you realize how hard grown-up life actually is. When you're little, I always been the type of child that wanted to be one step ahead of the actual level I should be. Always wanted to grow up and do things before I should. And that you easily find out that grown-up life is not fun as being a child is. And I think the hardest things in that growing up is relationships that we'll be talking about. They become more complex. They have different meanings. They go beyond. Even Jason talking about like children become children and thinking today about my mom that lives far away, but like how much our relationship has changed in those years. I was so dependent on her and looked at her for everything. And now I'm the one saying, mom, this is how you do this. And you should be doing this. And look at that message, the email. Have you seen what you just received? And you just changed relationships and how humbling that can be. And that how hard she thinks that one day be the same with the girls for me. They're going to change so much in the way they relate to me. But in relationships like this, with history and story, things happen. Things happen that mark us. And if we don't bring them to God, it can really just become a barrier in our lives. I don't have many memories of being very young, but the youngest memories I have, I was probably 6, 7 years old, Camila's age. And I had a friend play date. We were outside playing, and I could see my mom was inside somewhere, but she was telling us off quite a lot that day, just saying what we could do and could do this. And I just remember like laying down in this hammock that we had in the house, and just looking at my friend and say, I don't know why my mom is so annoying, and keep just saying, but I could see that my mom could hear, and that really broke my heart. I just started crying because I thought, oh no, I broke my mom's heart, like I'm gonna make her upset. But that memory stayed with me throughout the years, like my words hurt my mom. And this is just a little simple memory, and you guys probably have so many memories of things that has happened when you were little or growing up. Maybe an argument you have with your husband, or maybe you're a bit too harsh, or maybe you had a teacher that said something to you. And God created us in a way where those relationships really matter. Chris brought a word today during prayer time about being a peacemaker. And the word peace in the Bible comes from a word called shalom. And that word means not just peace is not just like the absence of war, not having conflict, not having fights or arguments, but it's actually making something that has been broken whole again. And I think when we think about relationships, it's like it's not just brushing things off and keep going and trying to make things look good again. It's how can we make them actually whole again? Jesus came, like Jason said, not to become man and join on our sin. He came to show us there's a different path, a completely different life that makes us whole again with God. And we fight that. We fight that, not just with submitting to God and doing that, but actually going everywhere in my little heart, going everywhere in my life and say, God, what about this? Heal this. Make this whole. What about this, God? heal this bit now, make this whole. And I really felt that it should bring this invitation today. There are things in our lives, relationships, that God wants to bring peace, shalom, not just to have the absence of war with that annoying uncle that always say inappropriate things at Christmas. But how can we make that relationship whole again? What does that mean? Can we open our Bibles in Genesis 50? 15:1. Now, Genesis 50, 15 to 21. Genesis 50, 15 to 21. I'm going to read now a part of Joseph's story. And, you know, the Bible says that God commands a blessing where we come together, where there's unity. Because he designed us to be a family. And there's so much power in understanding that value in our lives. We're going to read here in Genesis 50, 15 to 21, Joseph, when... if you know the story of Joseph, he was sold by his brothers because they thought he was the favorite son of his dad. Became a slave, spent years far away from home, but God made a 360 in his life, and he ended up in a very high position. And then years later, his brothers have to come to this land to ask for help, and they found his lost brother that they sold and treated so badly. And then after Joseph's dad passed away, the brothers started freaking out, thinking, now Joseph's going to get rid of us because we've been so mean to him. And this is what happens. Genesis 50, 15 to 21. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brother said, what if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pay us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him? So they approached Joseph saying, your father gave this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you. Now, therefore, please forgive the crime of the servants of the God of your father. Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also wept. They fell down before him and said, we are here as your slaves. But Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended for good, in order to preserve a numerous people as he's doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones. In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. And I always find this story very powerful because it wasn't a little thing that his brothers did to him. And it took him a lot, isn't it, to forgive them. But I love that he got himself to a position that he deeply felt. There's other parts that say about Joseph crying about this. But he opened up the door and the space for healing of what has happened. And it's the same for us. We have things in our lives that has happened that we need to open up a door for healing, for God to make it whole. And for Joseph, if that wouldn't happen, a story that would happen after him would have been stopped. It's the story of Jesus, the story that we're part of. If that healing hasn't happened, the family wouldn't be reunited again as they did. And then being brought out of Egypt. And the same for us. What it is on our relationships, in our marriages, that we're not living in the freedom, in the abundance of God because of so much wounds that we have in our marriage that haven't been really healed. Sometimes small arguments becomes big arguments that becomes a whole big hole in our hearts. So hard then to find peace back. And we need to open up doors for God to come in and bring the healing that he wants to. Peacemakers, blessed are the ones who are peacemakers, Jesus says in that mouth. It is because he knew that we need to find healing in our relationships. If you can you stand up with me? I'm going to read one more Bible verse. Sometimes we have wounds in our lives that we feel that may be never healed. I lost my father in 2020, and that was my first experience, really experienced grief, and some of you may have experienced more than once. And I find that's a wound that may be never healed. It comes and goes, and you have a day where you just feel, oh, I really feel that, and I need you, Lord, to come and help me with that. And God really wants to provide us with his presence for those wounds that may feel never healed. You know, when we say the outer of our home, on those relationships, it's also in those wounds that the relationship causes. We need to bring all to God. In John 19, 25 to 29, Jesus was in the cross, and he knew he needed to do something before he went. And I love that. He says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, he is your son." And to the disciple, "He is your mother." And from that time on, the disciple took her into his home. And I love that. It's just a small thing that Jesus done, but it probably meant a huge amount for these two people. That Jesus sees our wounds. He knows us. And he knew that these two would need help to go through his death and what it was going to mean after that. And he knew that that needs to be healed for them to be everything they need to be for the church that we see in Acts, isn't it? These two are key people in his church that needed to be healed and healthy spiritually and emotionally to be his church. We are his church. We need to be emotionally healthy. And our home needs to be a place where we let God open doors that we prefer not to. We need God to open these doors and make us whole. So we're going to just pray for that, and just try to seal some of the words that God brought this morning. So Father God, I just want to come to you this morning, understanding all you said about the altar of our homes. God, our homes is such a vulnerable place, an intimate place. Some of us may never open our house for someone to come in, oh God. Some of us find it much easier to let other people come in. God, our house may be a place where we do fill up with worship and put premier praise and say your word one to another. Or maybe a place where we find so hard to open up our Bibles. God, our home may be a place where we talk to one another in respect and honor. Maybe a place where there's so many arguments and we find really hard to resonate with one another. God, our house may be a place where we invite others to ask for forgiveness. We invite others to try to make things right. Or maybe a place where we just grudge and complain about someone else again and again and again and go deeper into an unhealthy relationship. God, but today you open up this door, this opportunity for us to look closer to some of the things in our home and our relationships. God, that you want to bring healing, your shalom. God, that you want to make us whole again. God, I love that image that you give about children in the arrows, and it is hard to bring up children, and we're always in that tension, but we as children have a perfect father that never let that arrow shake. God, and you are pointing us, preparing us. You sent Christ to show us life. God, you said, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. You invite us to be the ones that find healing in this land. But God, you call us to find your kingdom here. It's at hand today. Not for when we're in heaven, it's today. And I want to pray for each one of us here, oh God, that you bring healing this morning. God, that you bring freedom this morning. God, sometimes we feel so inadequate to pray and say about this. But you, oh God, are powerful. And you, Holy Spirit, work in our hearts. God, you speak to us this morning and help us understand that relationships that you so dearly want us to fight for them, to see them restored. God, that bring healing to our hearts. God, bring your shalom. Father God, things that may be simple, to have a home that's full of God's glory and full of God's word may be simple to say, but so hard to live. God, it's so hard to not let our emotions take over. God, for us, maybe that are going through grief or trauma, it's so hard to not let it take over. And Father God, you so desire freedom for each one of us. You so desire that we do an altar and those things for you, that we surrender to you. Oh, I pray for my brothers and my sisters, that they will find healing today. That you, Holy Spirit, you bring to light the things that you want to make whole today.